It's good to see all of you today. I got extra paper up here that I need to move and get rid of. I want to encourage you, if you can or are able, to be back with us this evening. I have had a request for a series on the eldership and deacons. So we're going to start that this evening by talking about the organization of the church. But today we're going to talk about one of the greatest men in Bible history, and that's the patriarch Abraham. There are three religions that look to him to be their spiritual father. That's us, of course, with Christianity, but there's Judaism, Christianity, and believe it or not, Islam looks at him as being the father or the patriarch of their spiritual beginning. Christians view him as the father of all them that believe, according to Romans 4 and verse 11. Now, what's noteworthy about him is his faith. He is most noteworthy for his example, for the example of his faith, when you read about him throughout the pages of the book of Genesis. So noteworthy, so much so, that Paul made reference of him several times talking about his faith in passages like Romans 4, Romans chapter 4, the whole chapter basically, and then Paul mentioned him again in Galatians chapter 3. James also made mention of him and used his example to illustrate a saving faith that we ought to have in our lives, James chapter 2. But both Paul and James, well, James here, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see what faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Both Paul and James, as I said, made reference to Abraham's faith. Now, at the end of time, at the end of your life, what's going to be said about your faith? What would be written on your headstone? Would anything be written on your headstone about your faith? Would the preacher mention your faith as Abraham's faith was mentioned about him? In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, the writer says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. We also see this where Paul writes about him in Romans 4, one of the passages we mentioned a moment ago in verse 3. He says, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And again, we go back to James 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So what about Abraham's faith? What was it about his faith that so pleased God? What was it that was counted to him for righteousness in his life? And then the question needs to be asked again, do we have the same kind of faith that Abraham had? So I want to take a closer look at the faith of Abraham. The first thing we need to notice is that his faith was based on revelation. God would reveal to him and speak to him about what he wanted him to do. It began in Genesis 15 and verse 7, where God tells him to leave the land of your fathers, Ur of the Chaldees. Now, if you'll remember from our Wednesday night Bible study, we looked at this map a little bit and studying about Abraham. Ur of the Chaldees over here is where the Euphrates River basically empties into the Red Sea. So here you have Abraham told here in this passage in Genesis 15 and verse 7. Chuck, am I on? What about now? Can you hear me now? 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 I've got it on and the mute button's off, so I didn't know. It didn't sound like I was on. But in a later passage in Genesis 12, when we're talked about Abraham again, and the promises that are made, you have him leaving Haran where his father is at. So here Genesis tells us about the faith that Abraham had in his life, that God revealed what he expected of him. And we talked about this Wednesday night. Here God said, get up and leave your home, leave your family, leave everything behind that really doesn't belong to you. And Abraham did. He didn't get up and say, well, now, Lord, I don't know. I want to have some idea about where you're sending me. But he didn't do that. He believed in the Lord enough that when God said, get up and leave, Abraham got up and left. He took everything that belonged with him, that belonged to him, and he left. So we go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and we see that he's in Shechem now, in Canaan, in the land that would later become the promised land of the nation of Israel. And we see here that God tells him again, you're going to have to get up and go. You're going to have to get up and leave. Later on in Genesis chapter 13, we see that the same thing is told when Lot moved to Sodom. Now, a lot of people don't know where Sodom and Gomorrah are at, and I don't know that this map is an exact placement of Sodom and Gomorrah, but it looks like it's somewhere in the Sea of the Red Sea here. You have brimstone deposits, but either way, this is just a different location from where Abraham was told again, you're going to have to get up and leave. And there are many more times throughout the pages of God's Word, throughout the book of Genesis, that God revealed himself to Abraham. And by revealing himself to Abraham, God provided Abraham more than enough evidence for him to place his faith and his trust in God. Now, the question that needs to be asked again, has God placed enough evidence in your life for you to have the same kind of faith that Abraham had? You see, our faith has got to be based on revelation as well. Not that God reveals himself to us like he did with Abraham, but he has revealed himself to us in his Word. By faith, we're told that it comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And in that Word of God, it contains evidence that we might believe. At the end of the Gospel of John, we're told in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that there were a lot more stuff that Jesus did, a lot more miracles and signs and wonders, but they're not recorded. And they're not recorded because what is recorded is enough evidence for you and I to believe. There's enough evidence in the pages of God's Word for you and I to have faith like Abraham. And God, in that sense, has revealed himself to us. The more we read God's Word, the more God is revealed to us, especially in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if we desire to have the faith of Abraham, we've got to be receptive to the revelation of God through His Word. So, the next point is really important. And again, we go back to John 20. We've already read that. The next point here, Abraham's faith was an obedient faith. So if you believe the Word of God, then what should naturally be the next step? You've got to believe. Abraham had faith in God. God said, get up and leave your home. Don't take anything with you but what belongs to you. And he did. But you look at us today, and if God spoke to us today the same way that he spoke to Abraham, and he says, Jeff, get up and leave. The first thing we would do is, well, where are we going? I'll tell you when you get there. That's basically what he did to Abraham, wasn't it? You don't worry about that. I'll tell you when to stop. Well, Lord, I got to make other plans. I got to do this. Then do I really have the faith that Abraham had? Jesus kind of rebuked those people who wanted to make alternative plans before following him in the pages of the New Testament, didn't he? The one that wanted to go bury his father, let the dead bury the dead. You follow Christ like Abraham followed God. Abraham's faith was an obedient faith. Abraham obeyed God. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 8. He journeyed to a country that he didn't know where he was going. And when he got there, God says, now if you look off to the right, you look off to the left, you look off to the north, you look off to the south, as far as you can see is going to be yours. This is going to be your home. I'm going to give it to you. But we notice in Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10, that the text tells us that he journeyed to a foreign land. We'd have a problem if God said, get up and move across town. Wouldn't it? That's the way our human nature is. But God took Abraham, if you'll remember the map that we had, there's the Fertile Crescent. You didn't cross across the middle there because of desert. Even invading armies, if they invaded Egypt from Babylon, the Babylonian area, the Mesopotamia area, they would follow the Fertile Crescent. And prophecy always talked about these nations coming in from the north. God told Abraham, this is your land. It's going to be a foreign land that I'm giving you, but it's going to be yours. And what about the other act of faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17? When he had to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you could do that, because that would be the toughest challenge that we would have. But Abraham's faith was not a dead faith, but it was a dynamic faith expressing itself in its obedience. Look at passages like James 2 and verse 20. James says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Do you have to have proof? Here's Abraham's proof that his faith was not useless. It was not void. It was not empty. In verse 26 of James chapter 2, for just as the body is, without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You have to have faith when God tells you to do something. Somebody says, well, you're not saved by faith. You're saved by your act of faith. Your belief in God. Somebody says, well, I'm not saved by my act of faith when I'm baptized into that pool up there. Well, that's true. But you have to take action. Your faith in God means that you've got to step out into the aisle and make your way to the front. It means you've got to be willing to make the concession that you're going to do what God tells you to do. That's your faith in action. And without that faith, you'll never take that first step. Never. Without works, faith is dead. We have to be willing to do what God says. You know, and that goes along with what a lot of people in this world say today. Oh, I believe in the Lord. I believe in Jesus. Well, are you going to do what he said? No, I want to do it the way I want to do it. I believe in the Lord. Well, are you going to be baptized? No, I don't think I have to. Well, what's the scripture say? Because that's Jesus telling you. I believe in the Lord, but I'm not going to be there every time the doors are open. Well, what's the scripture say? Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Hebrews 10:25. I believe in the Lord, but I'm not going to sing. And I know you've got it easier now with a face mask and all covering your pretty faces. But it's noticeable when we don't sing. You know, I spoke to somebody the other day. I can't remember. It might have been Danny. I was talking to him, and I said, you know, if Christians don't like singing, they're going to be miserable in heaven. Because that's what the book of Revelation tells you you're going to be doing for eternity. Is singing glory and praises to your heavenly Father. So you've got to love singing now, or you're going to be miserable in the life to come. Abraham's faith was an obedient faith, and by faith he obeyed God, just like we have to do. We have to obey God. You know, it's the gospel call for obedience to the faith, Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse 16. And we must obey from the heart the doctrine of Christ. It has to be from the heart. It has to be true. It has to be real. And the Bible gives a woe to those who don't obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 1 Peter 4. But if we desire to have the faith that Abraham had, we have to have a faith that works. A faith that works through love. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Now, while works are essential, They're an essential element to having a saving faith. It is crucial also for us to notice that it is the faith behind the works that pleases God, and not the works per se. So we need to point out that Abraham's faith was a trusting faith. Abraham had a faith that trusted in God and not the works of himself. Just like us. If you go back to our text in Genesis 15 and verse 6, Abram believed in the Lord, and God credited to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord. It was his faith that was reckoned or considered for righteousness. It was Abraham's faith in God that greatly pleased God. But you know, Paul stresses the same point in his letter to the Romans. We noticed a moment ago in Romans chapter 4, we noticed verse 3, but let's begin with verse 1. What then shall we say, that Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he was something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you believe God? I believe you do. But if you believe God, then you've got to have the faith that's going to act upon God's commands. Abraham was not justified because of his works. Abraham was justified or declared blameless here because of his faith that produced those works. And though he had a faith that worked, he did not trust in his works. Rather, he trusted in God who justifies the ungodly. Romans 4, verses 5 through 8. So Abraham trusted in God and not in his works. And that's the same thing that needs to be with us. We need to trust in Jesus, not in our works. As we noted before, obedience involves certain works, such as faith, which is not a work, according to John 6, verses 28 and 29. Even baptism is not a work, but it's more of a work of God than a work of man. Somebody says, well, how is it not a work of man? Well, there's nothing in this water that's going to save you. There's nothing in this water that's going to wash your sins away. It's an act of faith on your part, because Jesus said you have to do it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that word baptized goes back to the original Greek, which means to immerse, to be buried, not sprinkled, not poured. But you have to be baptized in order to receive salvation. It's an act of your faith that Jesus said, do it, and you say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. That's faith. It's just like a little child when they're standing somewhere and you tell them to jump. It's trust, isn't it? It's faith in mama and daddy that you're going to catch them when they jump. Jesus says, jump, and you have faith that he's going to catch you. He says, be baptized if you want to be saved, and you have faith that what he says is true. It's as simple as that. It's a childlike faith that we just have to do what Jesus says do. We don't trust in our works. We put our trust in our obedience. In our obedience to do what Jesus simply says we must do, as though we somehow earn salvation. For Christ taught us to realize that we are all still unworthy. Luke 17 and verse 10. In fact, Paul speaks of us being unworthy when he talks about the Lord's Supper there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We partake of it in an unworthy manner. We need to examine ourselves. There's nothing that we can do that would make us worthy of having our sins forgiven. We're all sinful creatures. But it's through the blessings of God. It's through God's grace and our faith that he says, I'll wash your sins away if you'll be obedient. It's as simple as that. How do you know that my sins will be washed away? Because God said so. How do you know that I can come back anytime and confess my sins and ask for God to forgive my sins? Because God said He would. You just have to simply believe. But even when all is said and done, let's back up. When all is said and done, as though we somehow earned our salvation, everything in our faith or trust in Jesus prompts us to obey in a way that pleases God. And it's not some meritorious work or value of the work that we've done to receive God's grace. In other words, we can't say, well, now, Lord, I was there every time the doors were open. I've got my bottom etched in the pad on that seat. Everybody knows that's my seat. I was there. But were you really? Were you just filling a space? Were you there so the elders would say, Jeff was there. We'll get Larry to check him off, make sure he was present. There's more to it than just warming a spot in the pew. There's more to having faith than just being here at the allotted times. So the faith of Abraham was an obedient faith that placed its trust in God, the God who justifies the ungodly, to be the sons of Abraham. And we must have the same kind of faith. So finally, the last point is that Abraham's faith was a growing faith. As we study the life of Abraham, we see that Abraham grew in his faith. And there were times when you notice Abraham that he was weak in his faith. And yet God accounted him for righteousness. In Genesis chapter 12, and again in Genesis chapter 20, you remember that Abraham lied about who Sarah was. In Genesis chapter 12, we studied this Wednesday night. They had to go to Egypt because of a famine in the land. And he told Sarah, said, don't tell them you're my wife because you're beautiful. And they'll kill me to take you. Didn't work out too well for either Abraham or Pharaoh. In Genesis 20, he did the same thing with Abimelech. Why do we do that when all we have to do is simply trust God? Simply have faith in God. Why do we think we have to help God in whatever He wants us to do? In Genesis chapter 15, he questioned God when God said, you're going to have a child. Him and Sarah both kind of had a fun time with that one, didn't they? They didn't believe. They questioned God. And in fact, you'll remember, they tried to help God out with that situation as well. Well, Sarah says, I'm old. I'm beyond childbearing years. Take my handmaid and have a child with her. Well, that didn't work out either. Both of them showed a weak face in the case of Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. God doesn't need our help. You know that? Do you realize that? God does not need your help. He just needs simple obedience. Simple obedience that can be accounted to you for righteousness. But Abraham also offered an alternative to God when he thought it was going to be impossible for him and Sarah to have children, Genesis 17. But God is patient. And in God's patience, Abraham's faith grew. He had faith. Even when everything seemed to be going against hope, they were still able to conceive a child. He had faith that God would raise Isaac from the dead when he was told to offer him as a sacrifice. Remember what? As they were going up on the mountain, Isaac said, well, where is the sacrifice? You remember what Abraham told his son? God will provide. You just have to believe. You just have to have simple faith that God will provide. And so was willing to offer Isaac as God had commanded him. Isn't it interesting? Abraham's faith had grown from the point of lying about who Sarah was to being willing to offer his only son as a sacrifice. Can your faith grow that much? We think Abraham had great faith. Get up and leave your home, leave your father's family, and I'll tell you when to stop. We think, boy, he had faith. But then he had weakness throughout his life. The faith of Abraham was not a static faith, but it was a faith that was ever growing that came through being a friend of God. Again, we go back to James 2 and verse 23. Abraham put faith in Jehovah, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he came to be called Jehovah's friend, God's friend, because he grew in his faith. You know what? We've got to grow in our faith as well. Just like everybody before us did, just like the apostles did in the first century. From men with little faith, remember Peter wanting to walk on the water? And he began to look down and then began to sink. And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. They grew from those men of little faith and easily afraid to being men of great boldness, like in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Don't you speak in the name of this Jesus anymore. Remember what Peter said? We cannot but speak the things that we have both seen and heard. Faith that grew like the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of you all have for one another is increasing. Paul says, I see it. We need to be looking at ourselves and seeing faith increasing in each other. Can we? Can people look at you and say, well, I tell you what, brother so-and-so, he's really stepping up. Sister so-and-so, I've not seen the light shine on her face like this in a long time. Is your faith growing? Just like Abraham's did. Or it is a dying faith. People need to see us growing. They need to see us growing so that they can continue to pray for our faith to grow like Paul did here. So what have we seen today? We've seen that the faith of Abraham was based on revelation. It was based on faith, an obedient faith. And we see that it was based on a trusting faith. But we also see that he had a growing faith. Now the question needs to be asked, why do we need this same kind of faith? We don't live like Abraham. We have a different promise made to us like Abraham. Let me suggest to you that once we're baptized, it's not like going to a ride at a carnival and you get your ticket punched. And you don't have to get it punched again unless you ride through again, but you have to keep growing. Why do we need the same kind of faith that Abraham had? In Genesis 3 and verse 7, it says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Do you have faith? Is it a growing faith? In verse 9, it says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So really, those who have the faith of Abraham are truly the recipients of the promise that's been made to Abraham. And that promise we read about in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 18. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. You're blessed because Abraham was blessed. You're blessed because of Abraham's faith. So what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your faith? Are you growing it, or have you buried it under a book somewhere and it's still there, you hope? Our faith needs to be growing. It needs to be blooming, blossoming. And it needs to be where people see it, not so that they can brag about us or we can brag about our faith, but people need to see us growing spiritually. Now, are we following in Abraham's footsteps? The steps of Abraham have cleared the way for us. I like to look at Hebrews chapter 11, Faith's Hall of Fame, and then look at the first two verses of chapter 12. And it talks about that great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone on before us, men like Abraham, and maybe even some in your family that were righteous, that had that growing faith. And we need to follow in their footsteps, because in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it tells us in the first two verses that they have gone through and they've made the path a little bit easier for us to follow. So are we following in Abraham's footsteps? Are we obeying the word that God has given us today? Do we look at the gospel of Christ and follow it because that's how our faith is built? Because that's where our promises are at? That's where our hope is at? It's in the Word of God? Are we obeying as Abraham obeyed? That's a tough question. Because Abraham lived under a different set of laws than we do. But you know, even though the law is different, the sacrifice was different, but you still have to look at it as obedience to the law. You still have to look at it as reasonable sacrifices. Are you willing to do what God has told you to do? Faith is an interesting topic, especially when you look at it in men like Abraham. And you see them grow. And you see that it's accounted to them for righteousness. And you think, well, they're special. Let me tell you something. They're no more special than you are. In fact, if Abraham could, he would rather have what you've got than what he had in the Old Testament. His sins were never forgiven. They were just rolled forward every year, remember? At least under the Mosaic law, not the patriarchal law. But your sins have been forgiven once and for all. You come back to the trough, if you will, time and time again and ask for forgiveness. And God is faithful. And He's willing to forgive you. But you have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to trust in God that God will forgive you when you sin. Well, it may be that you're here this morning. And you've put Christ on in baptism. You're a child of God. But you haven't been faithful. You haven't been growing your faith. Maybe you don't trust in God. Or maybe you trust God, but you trust other people and other things in the world more than you trust God. See, that's a problem. Because your faith is not the faith like Abraham had. But it may be that you're here this morning and you've never put Christ on in baptism. Like we said, there's nothing special in this water up here. And I think Travis keeps it pretty clean on a regular basis. So there's nothing in this water but water. Comes out of the tap. Nothing miraculous. The only thing in this water that saves you is your faith that God says, I'll wash your sins away if you'll just come to me. You'll just come to Christ. Jesus says, I'll forgive you your sins. We'll wash your sins away. What about you? Do you need your sins forgiven? Do you need to come back to Christ? Do you need prayers? If nothing else, so that your faith can begin to grow again. Whatever you need, please respond as you stand and sing.